Good morning, good evening, good afternoon, and welcome to The Balance Point. It is good to be in the place where we study God's Word. And oh boy, what a place it has been. As we get started, I just want to tell you right now, God must have something really special planned for this Word. Because I have never had so much trouble getting one of these presented and recorded as I've had for this message today. So hold on to your seats because I believe that God has something awesome planned for you today. Today we are continuing our study in the Gospel of Luke. We are finishing chapter 8. And we are looking at verses 49 through 54. So turn with me in your Bibles to Luke chapter 8, verses 49 to 54. And this is a continuation of the study that we started with our last session called Two Healings. And as we get to that place in our Bible, let's slow down. Let's calm down and let us calm our spirit, calm our mind, and enter into a place of prayer. Father God, we just come into this place of prayer. We come into this place of study. And we ask, Father God, for your mercy, for your grace. We ask, Father God, for your presence. Father God, the enemy has worked hard and long to make sure that this message does not go out. But Father, I believe that the harder and the longer the enemy works against your messages, the more powerful and the more meaningful they are for your people. And so, Father God, I pray a hedge of protection, not just around myself, not just around the technology that brings these messages, but Father God, I pray a hedge of protection around each and every hearer of the word today. May your will be done. May your presence be felt. And may your wisdom be received in the mighty name of your Son, Jesus. Amen and amen. Luke chapter 8, beginning at verse 49. And I'm reading from the New King James. While he was still speaking, someone came from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying to him, "Your daughter is dead. Do not trouble the teacher." But when Jesus heard it, he answered him, saying, "Do not be afraid. Only believe, and she will be made well." Now when he came into the house, he permitted no one to go in except for Peter, James, and John, and the father and mother of the girl. Now all wept and mourned for her, but he said, "Do not weep. She is not dead, but sleeping." And they ridiculed him, knowing that she was dead. But he put them all outside and took her by the hand and called, saying, "Little girl, arise." Then her spirit returned, and she arose immediately, and he commanded that she be given something to eat. And her parents were astonished, but he charged them to tell no one what had happened. Father God, we thank you for this reading of your word, and we ask, Father God, that it would just be planted deep down in our heart. Father God, let us be watered and nourished by what you have given us. In the mighty name of your Son, Jesus. Amen and amen. Now, when we left off last time, Jesus had been approached by the ruler of the synagogue to come and heal the ruler's daughter. And Jesus had agreed to go with the ruler of the synagogue, Jairus. And as he was going, a woman who had an issue of blood for 12 years, and over last session, this session, next session, you're going to hear the number 12 multiple times over. And this kind of goes along with the theme that has been building for the previous, 9 sessions on authority. See, when we see the number 12 in the Bible, quite often that number is associated with government, the 12 tribes, 12 apostles, and it comes to be associated with the idea of authority. And we have seen Jesus exercising authority. We saw him exercise the authority over the demoniac at the Gadarenes in the tombs. We saw him exercise authority over the wind and the waves on the sea. We've seen the woman touch the hem of Jesus' garment, and that hem represented, or rather, let me rephrase that, the hem was a physical representation of the genealogy of the man, because the genealogy would be woven into a series of knots that would describe the man's genealogy, and that represented his authority, just as like the signet ring of a king represents the authority of the king. And so when the woman touched the hem, she was touching the authority of Jesus. And so Jesus stops because, of course, you know, he felt the power go out of him. And he's been dealing with the woman, and now where we pick up in verse 49, he had just finished speaking to the woman. He was speaking to the woman, telling her, "Daughter, be of good cheer. Your faith has made you well. Go in peace." And verse 49, it says, while he was still speaking, someone came from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying to him, that is to the ruler of the synagogue, "Your daughter is dead. Do not trouble the teacher." I don't know about you, but you know, I'm a parent. I've got 2 children. They're adults now, but can you imagine for just a moment what it would be like for you to have gone to get prayer for a loved one, for you to have gone and that person that you went to get prayer was on his way, and while on his way to pray for your loved one, another one comes up and gets healing. And so the person that you were counting on to see that your loved one, he's delayed. He's delayed. And then to have someone who was with your loved one come up to you and say, "Don't bother the preacher. Don't bother the teacher. Your loved one is dead." What would go through your mind? I know what would go through my mind. There'd be anger. How could this have happened? That woman, she stole the healing from my loved one. There'd be disappointment. I wouldn't get to see my loved one live. And this was Jairus' daughter, and the language here really indicates that this daughter was an only child. So she was not only the daughter, she was the heir. A disappointment that the family line is going to end here. The despondency. Oh, that he could have come quicker. and all this going through your mind. And I'm emphasizing this to bring out this point that often it seems that God doesn't arrive on time. Often it seems that God is delayed. You know, we need God to move, and we need him to move like 2 days ago. But then God is delayed. This isn't the only time that we're going to see Jesus delay. A little bit later, we're going to see Jesus delay when Mary and Martha come and say, hey, your friend, the one you love, Lazarus, is sick. And Jesus is going to purposely delay 3 days, so he's going to be sick, dead, and buried. How often do we get disappointed with God? How often do we get angry because maybe somebody received a blessing before the blessing we were looking for? And the thing that we hoped for that was on its last leg, maybe it was a job, maybe it was a promotion, maybe it was a healing, maybe it was getting back together with somebody that you know you're supposed to be with. And it seems like at the last minute, it's just snatched right out from under you. Right out from under you. While he was speaking, somebody came from the house, from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying to him, your daughter's dead. It's over. That thing you hoped for is over. That thing you long for is over. Don't bother God. The enemy would come in and say, that thing that you wanted, that thing that you were counting on, it's dead. Don't bother God. You know, in the Old Testament, there's a book called the Book of Job. And the Book of Job, in the beginning of the book, describes, shall we say, a contest between God and Satan. And God says to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? There's nobody like him. He's a man of uprightness. And Satan says to God, God, the only reason that Job loves you, the only reason that Job follows you is because you got a hedge of protection around him. And so God says, okay, do your best to Job, but you're not allowed to kill him. And so, all these things happen to Job. His wealth is taken away. It's stolen. His children are killed by seeming acts of God, but really acts of Satan. Dead. Family wiped out. Job is overcome with some sort of a skin disease where literally he's out at the city dump scraping his skin with pot shards because it's itchy and sores. And then to add insult to injury, Job's wife comes along and says to Job, do you still have your integrity, Job? Why don't you just curse God and die? That's basically the same thing that this person coming from the ruler of the synagogue said to Jairus. Dude, it's over. Your daughter's dead. Don't bother the teacher. There are things that you have been waiting for, things that you have been hoping for, things that you have been longing for. And maybe you've been waiting a month. Maybe you've been waiting a year. Maybe you have been waiting a decade. Maybe you've been waiting a lifetime. And the enemy would come to you and he would say, it's over. It's dead. don't bother God. I would say to you this. I would say to you the same thing that the word says here. But when Jesus heard it, how many of you know that when Jesus hears a thing, he has the power to overrule it. But when Jesus heard that you couldn't get out the wheelchair because the doctor messed up your operation and you're paralyzed, he said to him, "Do not be afraid." When Jesus heard that the little girl was dead, Jesus wasn't bothered. Jesus answered, "Do not be afraid." When the devil comes and whispers in our ear, "It's over," do not be afraid. When the doctor comes and says, "It's cancer," do not be afraid. There's a woman who actually works as, she owns a business here in Southern California. And her business, she provides home health care. And she works with several other nurses and providers to take care of, you know, people who are ill in their home. And many years ago, she was diagnosed with cancer. And she went to a church that offered a healing room. Now, for those of you that don't know, a healing room is a ministry that is dedicated to the miraculous. It is dedicated to praying for people for breakthrough from addiction, for breakthrough from sickness, from breakthrough from bad relationships, from breakthrough from broken relationships. And that's what goes on in a healing room. And these are people who have been trained and have been practiced in listening for the words and the will of God, and then speaking those words. And so this nurse shows up, and as this nurse was being prayed for, you know, she had only specifically mentioned that, you know, she had been to the doctor and there were some things going on. Well, as this nurse was being prayed for, the Spirit revealed that the issue was a cancerous growth that was very malignant and was in the process of metastasizing, moving through the body. And so the group came together and began to surround her with prayer and began to surround her with words of encouragement. And Jesus said, "Do not be afraid," and began to surround her with faith-building verses from the Bible. Now, I need to back up and explain something about healing. A lot of people, you know, think that, you know, when you get into ministries like that, that, you know, it's a lot of naming and claiming. And I imagine that there are ministries that go off the deep end in that direction. But when we pray for healing, we just pray for healing. Properly pray for healing, we're not saying, "God, you know, heal in this way. Do this thing." But rather we're saying, "God, heal however you choose to heal." Whether it be instantaneous, miraculous, boom, take up your bed and walk type healing. Whether it's healing through the natural course of events. whether it's healing through the hands of a doctor. And even though we never really want to see this, when we pray for healing, we're okay if God chooses to heal a believer by taking them home. As far as we're concerned, that person still got healed. May not have gotten healed the way that we wanted them to get healed, but they got healed. And so we were praying over, oops, I made a mistake. I try to keep myself out of these stories. But the person was being surrounded by prayer, covered by prayer. There were several people who were interceding for the group, praying for this person, because the enemy would love nothing more than to come along and say, your situation's dead. Don't trouble the teacher. He would love to say that. And so we had several people who were in an intercessory role covering the group as a whole. You know, praying protection over the group, praying protection over the mind, over the will, that we would not be hearing things that were not from God. And then there were several of the group that were praying for the healing specifically. And then there were a couple of people from the group who were, you know, literally reading word from the scripture, reading words of life into this person with cancer. And then there were a couple of people who literally were just there to praise and worship for God's goodness. That was the team. And as the prayer was going up, there was a sense of release over the room. And someone spoke forth the words, you have been healed. You can heal. Now, we believe that, you know, if we believe that God has healed you and that word's been spoken over you, the first instruction, at least the teams I've ministered with, always says, we believe that God has healed you. Now go see your doctor. Verify that that happened. And so the nurse went, saw the doctor, and she came back and phoned me and was like, doctor can't find the cancer. Praise God. You see, when the devil would say that it's dead, when the devil would say that it's over, Jesus hears and he says, do not be afraid. Only believe. Do not be afraid. Only believe. Only believe what? Only believe what God has spoken to you before. See, somehow the Spirit got a hold of the ruler of the synagogue and said, you need to go get Jesus. You need to go see Jesus. Jesus can heal your daughter. Somehow, you know, whether it was a friend that mentioned Jesus or whatever, the Holy Spirit took the word that ruler had seen, that rumor that the ruler had received, and made it come alive in the ruler's spirit. So he went and he sought out Jesus. And when he sought out Jesus, Jesus said, yeah, come, I will heal. Do not be afraid, only believe, and she will be made well. Only believe. Only believe. That was it. Do not be afraid. Only believe, and she will be made well. And so what happens? Jesus comes into the house. And when he came into the house, Jesus permitted no one to go in except for Peter, James, John, the mother and father of the little girl. Why? Why? Well, a lot of times there can be voices around us that say, it's dead, it's over. And we need to be sure that we are surrounding ourselves, surrounding our situation with people who will hear the word of God and will obey the word of God and will respond in faith to the word of God. See, the last thing we need is somebody whispering into our ears, dude, that ain't right. That'll never work. And so Jesus only let in those that needed to be there. He only let in those who would believe, who would assist in the belief. He let in Peter, James, and John so that they would be witnesses and would then be able to repeat this account over and over and over again. You know, sometimes God lets us into a situation so we can see it and it builds up our belief, but then further, we retell the story over and over and over again about what Jesus has done. You know, I think that it's cool that God has let me see so many things happen. You know why it's cool? Because I get to tell those stories and build up other people's belief. So what did Jesus do? Well, verse 52 tells us. I want to get down there. Here we go. But he said, do not weep. She's not dead, but sleeping. Don't weep. The thing that God promised you, the thing that God spoke to you, it's not dead. Trust him. Jesus speaking of the church and the family of God, speaking of himself and the results of his death. Unless a grain of wheat shall fall to the ground and die, it remains but a single grain. You see, sometimes God's word has to die to bear fruit. Sometimes, you know, sometimes God will give you a word and he'll instantly do that word. Many times God will give you a word and that word has to remain buried inside for it to take root, take hold, and to grow. But here's the problem. There'll be people around you like these. And they ridiculed him, knowing that she was dead. They ridiculed you, knowing that the thing that God spoke to you, he spoke 10 years ago, and it still hasn't happened. What did Jesus do? He put them all outside. He put away those who were speaking against the word of God. And he took her by the hand and called, saying, little girl, arise. And then her spirit returned. And she arose immediately and he commanded that she give them something to eat. And her parents were astonished, but he charged them to tell no one what had happened. See, here's the thing. Sometimes we need to be careful. Careful, 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 careful about who we let in on our blessings. Who we let in on the word of God. And before I go too far, I just want to throw this in as a little quickie. How do you know that something that you think you've heard is the word of God? Well, the first way you find out is you test it against the scripture. You test it against God's written word, because God will never contradict his written word. You test it against the character of God. God will never do something that contradicts his character. If it's something that's contradicting his character, it's either the flesh, the devil, or the world. And so we test things. Taste and see that the Lord is good. We test it. And if it lines up with God's word, and by the way, when I say it lines up with God's word, I'm not talking about taking a verse out of context. I'm talking about, does it line up with the full counsel of God's word? Does it line up with the totality of God's word? Not just some specific verse, not even some specific chapter, but with the totality of the revealed word of God. And if it does, probably a pretty good chance that it actually was the word of God. So, I want to close with this. God has made promises. May God made a promise about the salvation of your relatives. God made promises. Keep praying. Keep believing. Keep holding on to those promises. God may have made promises about a future spouse. Keep praying. Keep working on yourself. Keep getting closer and closer to Jesus. And here's something funny. The closer you get to Jesus, the closer you're going to get to that spouse God was promising. You don't need to look. God's already got them out there for you. God may have made promises about work that you're going to do with the kingdom. You know, may God made you a promise that you're going to do some great work with business so that you can build the kingdom financially. Hold on to that. Work hard. Look for the closed doors that God says, no, don't go this way, but look for the open doors where God says, yes, come this way. God has made promises. Hold on to them. Take those with you who will be of faith and who will be a good witness of the things that God has done and is doing. And most of all, do not be afraid. For God will fulfill his promises. Heavenly Father, we just thank you and we bless your name. We give you honor, we give you glory, and we magnify you because you are the God of promise. You are I am. You're not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. And you continue to live evermore, fulfilling the words that you have said. Father God, I pray for those who have been holding on to the promises. Strengthen them in your Son. Father God, I pray that you would cause them to have people in their lives who will believe with them and will encourage them in the name of your Son. Be glorified and magnified in the name of Yeshua, our Lord and Savior. Amen and amen. We want to invite you to contact us. If you have promises that God has made for you, made to you, contact us. Let us know. Put it in as a prayer request that we will believe with you, that we could stand with you. And you can contact us by email. Our email is staff@balance-point.org. You can reach us by searching for us on Facebook at Balance Point Church. You can find us and message us on our YouTube channel, Balance Point Church. We invite you because that's what we do. We stand with you. We do offer a ministry center where you can get involved with Balance Point. May you like to help us out by hosting Balance Point in your home. And you can do that by just going to our ministry center. Register. We have a little bit of a coursework that we take you through so you understand who we are and what we do. You're not joining Balance Point as a church. You're joining the army of God. And our ministry center is at www.balance-point.org. That's balancepoint.org. Excuse me. We will be restarting our live worship in our virtual sanctuary. And you can find our virtual sanctuary at balancepoint.online.church. And we'll be restarting that soon. We are still working on the technology. And we're working on the timing for when we are going to do that. But we look forward to seeing you in our virtual sanctuary. Prayer, I mentioned prayer. You can send prayer requests to Balance Point. Our email address is prayer@balance-point.org. That is prayer@balancepoint.org. And last but not least, for just general contact information, you can contact us at staff@balance-point.org. Now, I would like to ask a favor of you before we leave. If you find these messages useful to you, would you please consider, if you're on Facebook, leaving a like? Because then that means that our message will get to a wider audience and more people will be served the Word of God. If you are on YouTube, leave a like, leave a share. Again, that helps these messages get out to a wider audience where more people can receive the hope and the joy of the salvation of God. We thank you for being with us, and we pray that God would bless you and keep you. We pray that God would cause this word to bear much fruit in your life and in the lives of those around you. May God richly bless you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.